Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 44 to 45. Matthew 25, verse 44. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or as a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. God, we pray that you bless us as we hear your word and listen to you, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit will take over and your Holy Spirit will share with us from the insights of your word as we learn from you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To all the young people out there, a blessed youth weekend or youth Sunday to you. Today is Youth Sunday, and once a year our church will remember this as a day where the youth among us is young and energetic and have all the life ahead of you as you continue to live and journey on in your life as a growing Christian disciple of Christ. So blessed Youth Sunday to you. Of course, this is also something that we know is practiced nationally, that tomorrow you're having holidays, right? So it's going to be a long weekend. So enjoy yourself as well. Now, today, usually is, as a Youth Sunday, is also a topical Sunday where we take a break from whatever series that we are doing as a part of our sermon as we think about what we want to speak to the youth and the young people. And I was praying, and I've been praying and seeking to the Lord what to speak to the young people this Youth Sunday. And after some praying, the Lord led me to consider how we have been living our lives, to take a look at ourselves, our purpose in our lives, our calling as we continue to journey on in this adventure called life. And so I continue to pray to the Lord and went deeper. And one area of that the Lord has convicted me is on the aspect of love. Now we know that love is one of the key virtues in the Bible, right? There's many parts in the Bible that talks about love. For example, the big love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that says, well, there's faith and hope and love abide in this. But among these three, the greatest is love. Faith, hope, doesn't match up. Love is the greatest of it. So definitely the Lord has told us many a times that love is an important aspect in our lives that we have to practice. So then it comes to the question then, who do you love? Who do you love? So God is telling me to love and the Bible is telling me to love. So who do I love? Some of us may think about romantic love immediately as we come to our minds when we think about love. Oh, boyfriend, girlfriend, oh, no, and husband, wife. Some of us may think about friendship, our besties, our BFFs. Some of us may think about our family love, our parents, our siblings. Now, the passage that we read in Matthew chapter 25 is a story by Jesus that says that tells of the story of a king. Where at the end of the days, when this king will look at all the subjects in the land, and there, as he looked at them, he asks who among them are those who love other people rather than just loving themselves. And for those who did not love others, was casted out from his presence. Now, of course, this was Jesus talking about like a story, but in the story, he has some truth elements as he's talked about himself as the king, and there was a judgment upon God's people. So this love that God is, or Jesus is talking about in his story, it's not about BGR love. It's not about those best friends, besties, BFFs love. It's not talking about even family love. But God is talking about loving others. And so we'll get to it later, okay? In this sermon, we'll talk about it more. But here, Jesus was identifying this group of people who did not love others. And these are the people who live only for themselves. They only care and love for themselves, not for others and not for anyone else. Very self-centered, selfish kind of love. That was a problem during Jesus' days, and that's why Jesus identified them here in verses 44 and 45. But still, this is a problem today in our society, isn't it? And many a times we love ourselves, love me, more than anyone else in the world. You know, you just have to turn open the newspaper and go online, internet, and you see a lot of stories about how people were not loving others. And when people are in trouble, people fail to help. For example, I read an article in the U.S. in 2011 when a young woman was brutally murdered by a fellow employee. And right there where she was murdered, next door there were two other employees who heard everything. And they even debated to say, should we call the police? And then in the end they say, let's not call the police. I have no idea why, but there's this thinking among these two employees that they were witnesses to murder, but they did not even call the police because they did not want to get involved. You know, they're selfish and self-centered, not to the point of not helping others who are in need. And that was in the U.S. And in China, I read another article where there was a horrific story of a two-year-old girl who was knocked down by a car on the road. And it didn't kill her, she was alive. But there was a CCTV at the side of the road that showed the whole thing that happened, and the authorities counted 18 people who walked past this two-year-old girl, and no one lifted a finger to do anything, they just walked by. In fact, one of the person went out of the way to walk around the two-year-old girl. That means he definitely saw the two-year-old girl lying there on the road, but he just took the effort to walk around. And the girl was still alive. Eventually, very sadly, a second car hit the girl and the girl died. What a sad world, isn't it? It's happening in the West, in the East, and also in Singapore, of course. We always make the joke about, when there's a car accident, people will take out their phone and then go and take the picture or take a video of the license plate number so that they can buy lottery numbers. We make it as a joke. But there was some truth, because this did happen before. Why are people just concerned only in getting those numbers and only to upload all these videos they have taken onto my social media account so that the world can see? And there's many of these who are slammed by others saying that, so you saw this happening, why didn't you lift a finger to help? And that is exactly even what the world is telling to us every day, be it directly or indirectly. When you flip on the news or you watch TV or even the internet, subliminally, these are the messages that is put into our minds to just care for yourself, care for yourself, care for yourself. You know, I just go into internet to try to find some advertisement taglines, and some of these are, I took from some ice cream, I removed the titles or the name of the brand names. So these are international taglines from different countries as well. So you will see some of these taglines, or many of these taglines, be it for ice cream, for beauty salons and all, it's all about caring for yourself, for yourself, for yourself, and for yourself. You know, a lot of this, it's enticing us. Don't you want to treat yourself better? Don't you want to indulge in your senses? Don't you want to be who you are or who you want? Don't you want to create your own image and feel good about you? Because it's all about you. And a lot of every day we are bombarded by such messages that come to us. As you watch movies and TV series, there's always those that many a times the protagonist will be saying things like, trust in your heart, and just follow your own desires. And those are the messages that slowly imprinted into us to just care only for me. Is there implications of doing so, to care for myself and only for me? Yes, definitely. If it causes others' plights to be ignored. A two-year-old girl who's knocked down by a car and we turn a blind eye, an employee murdered next door and we did not even call the police, this becomes a problem. And so the Lord Jesus identified here in Matthew 25 that there are such people who only care for themselves, and this is bad. And when he tells in the story, when the king was judging his people, and he divided them into those who care for people and those who did not care for the people. And he says here in verse 41, he says, depart from me, those who did not care for others. He said, depart from me, you cursed. Jesus used the word cursed. These people are cursed. And cursed into the eternal fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels. So Jesus It's not saying that we have to just only care for ourselves, and he is definitely against us not loving others. But let's take a stop and a pause here. Is Jesus saying that it's wrong to love ourselves? Does that mean I totally hate myself and just love other people or don't care for my own needs? Is that what Jesus meant? No, because in other parts of the Bible, you will see consistency about how God tells us to also love ourselves. That God says in Proverbs 19, verse 8, that those who are sensible should love your own soul. You should love yourself. Psalm 139, my favorite psalm, in verse 13 and 14 says how God has created and formed us and knitted us together in my mother's womb. And we can praise God because we are so fearfully and wonderfully made. And such wonderful are God's works that God has created me. And if God has created me with his hands so fearfully and wonderfully, surely then I should treasure myself and love myself. And it's important to know that we should also love ourselves because we need to first take care of ourselves. I mean, in Chinese, there's this word called 自爱, right? Which means to have self-care. Now, if you hate yourself, you cannot accomplish much but sink into a self-absorbing cycle of depression. If you cannot love and accept yourself, you cannot bear to use your gifts and to fulfill your responsibilities for your purpose in life. So young people, don't hate yourself. You have to learn some self-care and to love yourself. But then, in this case, if we are to love ourselves, then what did Jesus mean in Matthew 25 to say those who do not love others? So are we supposed to love ourselves? Yes, the answer is yes. We have to love ourselves, but not to the point of not loving others. We should love ourselves, but not to the point of ignoring others, abandoning others when they are in help or in need or in danger. So in summary of my first point, it is important to love ourselves, but let us not become self-centered or self-absorbed to the point of ignoring and forsaking others. Okay, so if I am to love myself, and I am to love others around me, but can I know why? Why do I have to love them? Because many times in life, I encounter very annoying, irritating people, right? Young people, I'm sure in your class, or in your school, there's those annoying guy who's always making tricks of others. Maybe there's this guy who always sabo and get a whole class into trouble. You know, there's people who always mess up and make a lot of noise that I cannot pay attention in class as well. These annoying people, how can I even love such people who always get into trouble again and again and again? Now, in the story in Matthew 25, scholars name it in the Bible as the final judgment. So the setting of this story that Jesus said was a time when God was judging the people. And when is that? That's the end times. The end times. And so Jesus, when he began the story in verse 31, he began by saying, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered all the nations. And so God began his judgment. So when scholars name this as the final judgment, he's talking about the end times. And when Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in the glory, we can see that this setting is set at the time when we are all at the end of our days, all right, standing before God, and God is coming, Jesus is coming, the Son of Man is coming, Jesus himself will come again, and he will judge the nation. So some reasons that I can think of why we have to love others includes this, all right? The first reason is this, because the King is coming. The King is coming and he will reward us. Here, there is a promise of this King that's coming, that God and Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, there will be a reward at the end, because those who follow him and those who love others will be accepted into the kingdom of God. And so we look forward, as Christians, we look forward to those days when Jesus is coming again. And if he is to come again, we should buck up, you know? It's like, you know, if you are in a classroom and the teacher is late, okay, so for whatever reason, and then after a while, everyone gets restless, and people start talking, and then some people would get tired and start to put their head on the table and sleep, and then some people just start walking around and chit-chatting, and some people will just play tricks on others. Some more adventurous people will go to the front and start drawing or dancing and everything, and then there was a lookout from the corridor and say, "The teacher is coming, Mrs. Lim is coming, Mrs. Lim coming." Then everyone will quickly go back to their seat up, put the textbook on the table again and just sit up straight and straighten up your shirt and your tie. And then when the teacher comes, say, "Good morning, teacher, everything is fine." You know, because there's an authority figure that's coming in. And when the authority comes, there's this urgency inside of us that says, "Hey, we better do something, you know? We don't want to be caught with our pants down in the sense. You know, we have to buck up and do something." So we quickly tidy ourselves up and we sit up straight and welcome the authority, right? I mean, if you are one day going to meet the president, you'll not go with, unkempt and shabbily, say, "Hello, Mr. President." You sit up straight, right? So in the same way, the Son of Man is coming, God himself is coming. And we have to straighten ourselves up and learn to love others. And we are not going to be called that before God, "I did not love others, God," no. So it's like God is coming, there's an urgency for us. So we have to learn to love these people. And that is one of my very first reason, all right? It's like God is coming. There's a reward promise at the end. We have to learn to love others. Now, the second reason that I can think about why we want to love others is to look at Jesus himself. Jesus was the one who tells us this story. So how did Jesus lead his life as an example? How did Jesus treat others? Now, one of my favorite verse in Luke 4 that talks about Jesus, when Jesus was at a synagogue, he took up a scroll that was given to him from the prophet Isaiah, and he unrolled it and he read. He says, and I highlight in red, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And I really love Jesus' response after that. After he rolled up the scroll, put it back to where he was supposed to be, and everyone was looking to him to see what he would speak next. And then he says, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And because Jesus see this as his mission, and that is his goal. And his mission and goal is to proclaim good news to the poor, those who need it, to tell them good news, to lift them up, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set them free, recovery of sight to the blind, to heal those who are sick, and to help those who are oppressed, and to proclaim God as he do so. And that was Jesus' mission in life. Jesus was going to do it. And did he do it? Yes. There's a time when John the Baptist's disciples come to him and speak to Jesus, and Jesus answered them in Luke chapter 7, say, "Go and tell John the Baptist what you have seen and heard, that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them." Jesus was fulfilling his destiny or the mission that was given to him, and Jesus was there to love others. And so that is the second reason why we have to love others, even the annoying ones, is because Jesus loves them. All these people, even the annoying guy in class, yes, he was loved by God. Even the one who always get into trouble, no matter how the teachers and counselors speak to them, yes, they are loved by God. And even us, we are loved by God. We too are annoying, aren't we? We too have our own irritating problems. But God loves us the same. In 1 John 4:19, it was simply written that we love because God first loved us. And that's good enough a reason for us to love, because our Heavenly Father first loved them. You know, my daughter, 5 year old, just turned 6 year old, Gwendolyn, she doesn't love durians. My wife and I, we love durians. And every time when there's durians on sale or something, we'll buy durians. And then we'll, many a time, since she was a little child, I'll just give her a little bit like taste. Come on, let's eat together. But she always yucks. Over the years, always, yeah, and then she ran away to play on her own. And so my wife and I, we enjoy on our, by ourselves. And so we take it, okay, sadly, all right, she doesn't like durians. Hopefully her taste will change one day. But okay, we just two of us enjoy the durians. But one day, recently, when my wife and I were eating durians, my daughter came up to the dining table, sat with us, and said she wanted to try. I said, are you sure? I thought you don't like durians. She said, yes, I want to try because Daddy and Mommy love it. You know, Daddy and Mommy love the durians. So she wants to sit with us because we love it, although she doesn't like it. And she tried. And I like give it to her. She said, yeah, okay. You know, you can see like it's a little bit like, oh, obligation. But she was there with us because she saw that we love it and she wants to be part of us, to be with us. And I think that's the same reason of how God too loves us. And sometimes, although I hate that guy, you know, it's so annoying. But because God, my Heavenly Father, loves this person, this annoying person, and if I love God too, I just want to be there with him as he loves that person. I'll say, okay, God, Father, I mean, it's not easy to love this annoying person, but because you love him, I want to be part with you. I want to be there. I want to be there to love as well because you love them. And the third reason I can think of why we should love others, even those who are annoying, is because we are created to do so. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, and I underline that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. 2 Timothy, when we have the word of God with us, so that the men and women of God may be complete. And what is complete? Complete to be equipped for every good work out there. So yes, we are created, young people, we are created to do good works. And which is why it saddened Jesus so much to see people who are not loving others, who are not doing good works to love others, because they are so self-centered. And Jesus saw that we are created to do good works. Why are we not doing it? And when we do good, we are setting God's example to the world. We are showing the world God's love to them, bringing God's love to them to feed the hungry and the poor. And they will see Christ, not because of our gospel and my knowledge of Bible, and all I can quote verses after verses, but because of my simply love for these poor people and these needy people and just being there for them. If we are just living only for ourselves, it will be such a purposeless life, isn't it? You know, sometimes in life, we just think about, what do I want to achieve? I just want to get that A, you know, and then I got it. And then next I say, I want to go to that school, and I just got it. And then I want this and that, and I just got it, and I get it. And let's say you're so good in life that you always get achievement after achievement after achievement. But then in the end, so what? There's always another one ahead that you have to keep pressing on towards. But it is only when we slow down to help others along the way that it's not just me achieving, but I bring along my friends and people who needs help to help them achieve as well. And I promise you, that is when that you find your life, that there's something that's fulfilling inside your heart. And you find that life is so much more meaningful when you get to help that person. So the reasons I give why we should love others is this. We love because Christ is coming again. The reward is promised to us. So let's straighten up, sit up, and do love others because God wants us to. And the second reason I can give why we should love others is because God loves us first. And we want to be part of his ministry. We want to be part to be with him. And the third reason why we should love others is because we are created to do so. To do good works, to love others. All right? So, it's not about loving me. It's right to love myself, but it should not be to the point where I forsake others. It should not be self-centered. I should learn to love others. And why I should love others? Because of the three reasons I give to you. Because God loved us first. Now then, how? How should I be loving these people? And without a doubt, this is where that many Christians fail. Yeah, many of us, we profess that we are Christians. But when it comes to a helping hand, it's just so difficult. I just read in news in U.S. just last night that there was something happening on a U.S. bus and someone was fighting. And among those who were fighting was a lady who was wearing a big cross. No, wearing a big cross. Of course, yeah, wearing a cross may not necessarily mean she's a Christian. But people, critics were actually commenting against her, saying, you're wearing a cross. You're bearing the symbol of Christianity. So you must be a Christian. But why are you one of those who are instigating and fighting? No. It's like we profess to be Christians, and sometimes we wear the cross to show the world that, hey, I'm a Christian. But yet we do not lift up to help others who are in need around us. Peter Maurin was a French theologian. He died in the year 1949. And he wrote a poem entitled Passing the Buck. Passing the buck means pushing the responsibility, okay? Yes, your responsibility, the buck, you push it to someone else, you pass it along. And he read this poem that I read for you, okay? There's three verses to it. First verse says, in the first centuries of Christianity, the poor were fed, clothed, and sheltered at a personal sacrifice. And the pagans said about the Christians, see, how they love each other. Today, the poor are fed, clothed, and sheltered by the politicians at the expense of the taxpayers. And because the poor are no longer fed, clothed, and sheltered at a personal sacrifice, but at the expense of taxpayers, pagans said about Christians, see how they pass the buck. So the meaning of this poem that Peter Maurin wrote in the 1900s, okay, early 1900s, he died in 1949. So he wrote this in the early 1900s that says that in those early days, Christians were the one who feed the poor, clothed them, and sheltered them at a personal sacrifice. It's a personal sacrifice. We sacrifice our time, our resources to be there to help these poor. And the pagans, the people of the world, say, we love each other. Today, the same thing is done for the poor and needy. Yes, they are covered, but not by the church or the Christians. It's done by the politicians, the government, the NGOs, those charity organizations, and all this at the expense of the people, the taxpayers. And again, although they are done so, it's not done at a personal sacrifice. And now pagans look at Christians and see how they have passed the buck. They passed the responsibility along. How then should we be living? How then should we be loving others? If you go back to the passage in Matthew 25 in verses 44 and 45, I try to highlight some of the key words that Jesus was talking about in verse 44 and 45. And I bow it there that When the people were asking the king, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? So I highlight these keywords and I ask myself, what then should we be doing for these poor and needy and people out there? Then definitely, as Jesus stated so directly and clearly, we have to be feeding the hungry, right? We have to be quenching the thirst of those who are thirsty. We should be befriending and welcoming the strangers even among us. And we should be helping or to clothe the naked. They could be naked because they are poor, they have no clothes, or perhaps they were robbed in some situation. We should help them. We have to visit the sick and those who are in prison. And we have to generally minister to the people. Simply those that's laid out by Jesus so clearly and directly, things that we can be doing. And so it warms my heart when I search the internet and see there are also positive stories out there of people helping other people as well, loving people, especially even in this situation of COVID. Like recently there was a case where there was a person who wants to celebrate the birthday of their children, and then they ordered a cake online, through GrabFood. And the GrabFood delivery person went to take the cake, to collect the cake. And as the person was doing so, the buyer actually texts the GrabFood rider and says, "Hey, I forgot to include candles. It's just cake. Can you ask the cake shop whether they sell candles?" And the GrabFood guy texted back, saying, like, "Okay, I'll try to ask." But the cake shop, the bakery, doesn't sell candles. They say, "Oh, we only sell cakes. We don't sell candles." And then, "Oh no, how?" Then the GrabFood delivery guy actually goes out of his way and says, "Don't worry, I'll settle this for you." He actually went to another store that sells candles, and they bought candles and delivered it to the buyer. So the buyer was very touched by this, that the GrabFood delivery rider actually goes out of his way. You know, that every minute counts for them as delivery people, right? But he actually go to another store to buy those candles at his own expense to give it to the child to celebrate the birthday. It's heartwarming stories like this that tells you that there's hope. And I always remember during the COVID how people were at their own expense, their own personal sacrifice, standing outside MRT station, issuing free masks to people. No, they are not from the government. They just got this mask on their own, and they were giving out to people who need them. I remember the story of the two sisters, young sisters, who the parents bought food for medical professional people, the doctors and nurses, and when people were shunning nurses on the streets and all, these two girls, they were writing encouraging messages on every food packet that the parents buy for these medical professionals, and they were writing, you know, that we support you, you know, we love you and everything, and they just give it to the medical professionals. And then we read in the news recently that many Singaporeans even step up to give up their time and their money to the needy. And it's such heartwarming to hear of all these stories. But when Jesus was talking about Matthew 25, was he just talking about all these people outside who are poor and needy? No. Jesus was talking about even those people who are here at your doorstep. For us as youths, your friends, your classmates, right there, is there someone who doesn't have the money to even buy a meal? You know, some of those poorer around us, how can you be supporting them? For those who are perhaps having SHN or quarantine at home, is there some way you can deliver food or needing things for them? Is there any way that you can help your friends who are at SHN and quarantine? We hear it quite often nowadays, to help them to take lecture notes because they are missing class. For us in church, a fellow or brother or sisters who are in trouble, going through hard times and suffering and bereavement, is there any way that we can be there with them? Sure, COVID, we cannot be there physically, but is there any way that we can even try to show our love and concern to them through text messages and even through phone calls? Yeah, just to ask how you are. Even those people in your cell group, your cell group members, how are they doing? Nowadays, we only meet on Zoom. But how are they really doing physically? Can we just step up and just ask them, give a phone call at least, and see how they are? The government allow us to have meals in twos. Is there any way that we can meet up with someone and find out how they are doing as well? There's things that we could do. There's ways that we can encourage our people. Those who are not regular, drop a text to them and find out how they are doing. And in so doing, to love one another. Youth, ask your cell group leaders, your youth leaders, how you can help. They are always the one leading the word and worship and welcome and works. Is there something that we can do? Volunteer yourself to serve as a community of faith in church as well. So in summary, yes, the world tells us to love ourselves first, to live for our own pleasures, for our own enjoyment, and for our own needs. It's important to love ourselves, but let us not become self-centered. Because the Bible teaches us, in loving God, in following God, let us love and live our lives for example, for others in the example of Christ. And let us learn to love others by helping them, serving them, and loving them. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you from the reading of your word, how the Lord Jesus identified those who have loved others and were accepted into the kingdom of heaven. And we pray, O God, that we will learn to love others because you tell us to do so, and we are created to do so, and because you too are loving others as well. Lord, may you convict us and remind us how we can be there to love one another through helping one another and serving one another. We pray, O God, that we find avenues of which that we could just help in cell groups, in church, with our friends around us, in class, or even wherever that we are, God. Let us not turn a blind eye to those in need, but may you open our hearts and our minds to know that we can be helping and blessing others because you have loved us and blessed us first. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.